Okay, we're in James chapter 2, and the verses I'm going to cover are 18 to 26. But I want to go back and I want to read. I want to go back and read from verse 14. James says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." In our text tonight, verse 18, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith? Do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, saying, 'Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see that a man is justified by works, and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." In a way of review, chapter 1 of James and chapter 2, what we've covered so far, has been speaking about faith. In chapter 1, James talked about how faith is tested by trials and temptations in verse 3. James said faith depends upon God. And how is it shown that faith depends upon God? Well, in verse 6, by prayer. Prayer reveals that we are depending upon God, that we have faith in Him, and we rely upon Him. James says that faith will endure through temptations. It will endure through trials in verse 12. That's the very nature of biblical faith. Biblical faith that saves us endures. It will give us life in the kingdom. That's what I mean by saving us. It will give us life in the kingdom. James writes in 1:12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." In the New American Standard Bible, it says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life." So keep in mind here, the crown of life is life in the kingdom. That is eternal life in the age to come in Mark 10:30. That is salvation. And that is conditional. We must always understand that we must do what God tells us to do in order to be saved. Which is not one thing, by the way. There are many things He tells us to do in order to be saved. So we don't want to take one thing at the exclusion of other things. And that's the problem with the whole idea of just being justified by faith alone. They take faith alone at the exclusion of other things that are mentioned, such as repentance and baptism and endurance and continuing in the church. All these other different things that are mentioned that are related to salvation, obedience. It is conditional. And a lot of people have a problem with that. The Reformers had a problem with it. James says that we need to persevere under trial and be approved in order to receive the crown of life. We prove our faith and love to God, according to James 1:12, by enduring through the trials. We are crowned with life at the end, not the beginning of our faith. And James says we have to be approved once we have been approved for it. I like how the New Century Version words many verses in James. They really do a good job in wording things in James. But James 1:12, it says in the New Century Version, when people are tempted and still continue strong, they should be happy. After they have proved their faith, God will reward them with life forever. God promised this to all those who love Him. So that's the way the New Century Version translates James 1:12. It's really, I like it. See, James understands that faith is something that acts. Faith is something one does. It behaves a certain way. One who has faith is a doer. He is a doer. James 1:21 or 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James also wrote about faith of pure religion. And we studied that in chapter 1. Faith affects one's behavior. Our religion, according to James, needs to be seen by others. That's a pure religion. It's not something we just think about. It's not something that we talk about. But it manifests itself in good works. And that's what he says in James 1:26 to 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So true religion that works by faith has acts of mercy, acts of kindness. It shows itself. True religion that does not show itself, does not have works of faith, is vain, and it's useless. Then in chapter 2, James continues the theme of faith. In verse 1, he says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to person." So a Christian's faith, the faith of the Son of God, does not show respect of persons. But instead, it works by love in Galatians 5:6. It practices the royal law in James 2:8, where James says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. You do well. Notice the word do. When we love our neighbors as ourselves, we're doing well. That's what faith does. Faith does well. Faith loves your neighbor as yourself. Love is a work of faith. Faith that works by love shows mercy, according to James 2:13. And James wants his readers here and us to know that if you're going to hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, your words need to match up with what you do. That's what James 2:12 says. So speak and so do. That's James theology right there. James' theology is, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. So it's not that we just speak, but we speak and we do. Okay? That's what James is saying. It does not say have the faith of Jesus Christ and yet respect persons. That's not faith. That is not faith. So speak and so do, James is saying. So faith is motivated to do because James says we're going to be judged. That's what he says in verse 12 of James 2. Who will be judged by the law of liberty. So we are going to be judged, James says, and that motivates us to be doers of the word. Because over and over again, you see places in the scriptures where judgment is mentioned, the judgment day specifically. The judgment is always according to what we have done, what we do, our works, our deeds. And the reason for that is that faith proves itself by works. And the authentication at the day of judgment for whether we really had faith will be the works that we had. So that's why the works will be the big issue in the day of judgment. It never says your faith and love will be judged at the judgment seat. It just says your deeds will be judged, because deeds will show whether you had faith or love. Now this brings us to James 2:14, which we covered 2 weeks ago. Rudy covered it. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? I like the New Century Version. It says, my brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? And the translations are very different on how it ends. The English Standard Version and New American Standard Version says, can that faith save him? The New English Translation says, can this kind of faith save him? And then the NIV says, can such faith save him? And then the New Living Translation says, can that kind of faith save anyone? Well, the question is, can we be saved by the kind of faith that doesn't have works? And James answers the question. He says, no, no. A faith that just says and does not do will not save you. It will not save you. And it doesn't profit you. Not at all. And it will not profit others, as we'll see what in James' example. So that kind of faith will not save anyone, because it's only talk. It is only words. And our talk and our words, they can be good, but they don't prove anything, according to James. If we just have talk and have words, but don't back it up with works, then James says that our faith is a dead faith. He gives a vivid example of what dead faith is really like in James 2:15 and 16. And this is the New Century Version. A brother or sister in Christ might need clothes or food. If you say to that person, God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat, but you do not give what that person needs, your words are worth nothing. Then in verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself that does nothing is dead. It is dead. So faith by itself means it's just words. Just words, a confession. It does nothing. It has no works. It is dead. Now you have evangelicals today that stress faith alone. Luther stressed faith only. But the scriptures don't say that. That's the problem. Faith alone, according to James, is dead faith. That's something to think about. And James is going to go on to say at the very end of the chapter, it is like a dead person who has no breath in his body. A body without breath is dead. Faith without works is dead. Three times in chapter 2, he mentions the word dead in regards to faith. Verse 17, verse 20, and verse 26. He wants to get a point across. Would someone who says or professes that they have faith, I have faith, and then it does not show itself, it does not prove itself by works, then it is not faith. Okay? A profession of faith only will not save us. That is James' message. And that's what the evangelicals teach. They teach that a profession of faith with no works, without any works, no baptism, no commitment to church, no commitment to endure temptations and trials, to learn the Bible, to learn the commandments. That's separate. That comes after I have faith. Okay? And that's what they teach, but that is wrong. Jesus taught us that words are not enough. In Matthew 7, 20 and 21, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does, notice the contrast, says, does. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. It's very clear. Words are not enough. The faith of the Bible always results in works. Not our own works. Not works that I make up inside of my head, but works that come from the acts of obedience to what God commands us to do in the Scriptures. That's the works that I'm talking about. That's the works that James is talking about. Evangelicals will say faith alone. But you know, you ever notice that they say faith alone, but they have people do things? Raise your hand, right? Pray this prayer. And that's what I used to do as an evangelical. Pray this prayer with me and you can know by your profession of faith that you are going to be in heaven one day. You know? And this is what they teach. So they teach someone has to do something. You got to pray a prayer. You got to come forward. You got to do something. So even though the evangelicals aren't consistent on faith alone, they have people do things. Okay? However, when the Bible commands very clearly that a person needs to be baptized, a person needs to repent, a person needs to continue in the church, all of a sudden evangelicals say that's salvation by works and not by grace. So, it's not salvation by works. It's obedience to God. And that is what faith does. That is faith. Faith can be seen by our acts of obedience. Faith is dynamic. Faith is something that we live by. We live by faith. Faith is something that we walk by. We walk by faith. It has action. It has fruit. It can be seen in the choices that we make. It behaves a particular way. And that's what we learn very clearly in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, often called the faith chapter. The whole purpose of Hebrews 11 is found at the very end of chapter 10. Hebrews 11 teaches us how to be of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. That is what Hebrews 11 is all about. Hebrews 11 is about being part of the crowd of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. The word faith appears 24 times in chapter 11. By faith, by faith, by faith. And all those mentioned in Hebrews 11 prove their faith by what they did, how they lived, the decisions they made. They had works. They had righteous works. They obeyed God. It wasn't just a bunch of words, a bunch of cliches. They obeyed God in Hebrews 11. And that's how we show our faith. That's how they showed their faith. It says in Hebrews 11:33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness. That's what faith does. Faith works righteousness. So we have to keep in mind, when we die, it's not our words that are going to follow us. It's our works. It's our works. It's what we did that will follow us. Then I heard a voice from heaven, Revelation 14, 13, saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Their works, not their words. So now we're on tonight's verses. I just wanted to give a basis of that. And now we go to tonight's verse, in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I like, again, the New Century Version says, show me your faith by doing, without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. I like the way it's worded. But James brings an argument up here in verse 18. And he uses the imaginary person for the sake of an argument. That's what it says. Someone will say. Someone, it didn't say their name Some say it could be someone in the church. Others say it's just an imaginary person for the sake of argument. But it could be somebody, some attitude that's in the church. Someone will say that faith, what is he saying here? That faith and works are separated. That they're independent from each other. They can exist apart from each other. You have faith and I have works. That's what this guy is saying. Faith can exist apart from works. But James says, he counters the objection by saying, okay, if that's the case, if that's really the case, show me your faith. Show it to me without your works. And I will show you my faith by my works. So James replies that works prove that one's faith is alive. My works show that my faith is not dead. You can see my faith by my works, James says. You can see my faith by what I do. The issue here is not that some have faith and others have works. For James, the issue is whether one can prove the existence of his faith without works. And James says, you can't. It's impossible. You can't show the existence of your faith without works. There's no way. Go ahead, show me your faith without doing anything, James says. You can't, because faith is never separated from acts of obedience. That's what James is saying here. You can't separate the two. How can one show faith unless by the means of something visible and tangible, evidence? James has clearly shown us that faith and works are not independent of each other. You cannot separate them. He rightly says, I will show you my faith by what I do. Because they are joined. They're not separate. You cannot see faith without works. You can't see it. Then James continues to challenge the idea that faith and works are separated in verse 19. He says, you believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So James starts out here and he congratulates the imaginary person, the someone of verse 18. He says, he congratulates him for his belief in one God. You do well. Very good. A doctrinal confession, a creed. Oh, that's very good that you believe in a doctrinal confession and you have a creed. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. What about obedience? What about obedience? What about the proof of your faith? Many professing Christians can tell you what they believe, but they do not show it by their works. The point James is trying to make is that our belief should be proved by what we do. Our confession of faith should be backed up with how we live, by actions. As the saying goes, actions speak what? Louder than what? Words. So you confess there's one God. Let's see it. Show it. You cannot separate your belief from what you do, or your belief is in vain. It is in vain. And that's the message of James. And then James goes on to say, even demons believe the same way. Faith apart from works is clearly exhibited by demons. They believe in God, at least they say they do. They acknowledge his existence, as we will see. They even tremble with the fear of being destroyed. But their works deny them. They have a dead faith. We can see that demons believe, at least that's what they say. In Mark chapter 1, verse 24, when Jesus encountered one, they said, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? They know something about their future. They know that the Messiah was the one who's going to destroy them. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, this is what demons say. They're saying this. Demons believe in God. That's what, according to their words, they say that Jesus is the Holy One of God. But their faith does nothing for them. It's apart from good works. A demonic faith is separated from good works. That's what I see James is saying here. A faith without works, James says, never saves anyone. They may say they believe in Jesus, that He is the Holy One of God, but they don't repent. They don't change. Demons oppose. What is the work of demons? They oppose the will of God. They oppose all righteousness. They do the works and deeds that are evil. They deceive. They tempt. Now, what's really disturbing about the faith of demons is it closely resembles the type of faith that is displayed among many professing Christians. Many people profess that Jesus is the Son of God, but you know what? They remain living in sin. They profess that Jesus is the Son of God, but they continue in their evil. They don't repent. And Titus says in Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God. Oh yeah, we know God. But in their works, they deny Him. They deny Him. Being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So yeah, Jesus is the Son of God, but they're disobedient. That's the faith of demons. It's a dead faith. It's a demonic faith. They can tell you what they believe, but they don't back it up with action. They don't back it up with a life of obedience. They have a dead faith. And a dead faith, I think, is a demonic faith. And you might see it differently, but that's how I see it. It doesn't show itself by acts of obedience. It doesn't change them. So we can assume, I believe, that James is saying a faith that is inoperative, that does not move into action with acts of obedience, would be considered demonic. Then James calls the someone of verse 18, the imaginary someone, he calls him a name. The one who thinks that you can have faith without works. He said, you're a fool. You're absolutely foolish. You know, actually the word means you're empty-headed. The Greek word means you are empty-headed. In James 2:20, but do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You foolish man. The New Century Version says, you foolish person. Must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? And the American Standard Version says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Now there is a variant on that last word. The Textus Receptus has dead, and the Nestle text has the word barren, unfruitful, unproductive. But basically the same conclusion. It's a dead faith. So the conclusion of the matter is faith without works, separated from works, is said to be dead in verse 17. So James is saying, do you need more evidence? Faith without works does not save, verse 14. It's not profitable, verse 16. It's dead in verse 17 and verse 20. And in verse 19, it's demonic. Now James turns to two Old Testament examples. And these are positive examples of people who showed their faith by their works. And they were considered righteous. First one is Abraham in verses 21 to 24, and then Rahab in verse 25. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? I like how the New Century Version translates by works as by what he did. By what he did. And the answer to the question, yes, he was. Understand, James is saying that Abraham's faith proved itself by its works. By his works. In Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. So James is saying, hey, you know what? Abraham's faith was not separated from his works. His faith was not just a profession. It wasn't just saying. It was not an acknowledgement that there was God there somewhere. He believed God. He trusted God. He followed God. He showed it by the ultimate act of obedience in offering up his only son, Isaac. And it says in Genesis 22 that once he actually obeyed God, then God said he believed Abraham. In Genesis 22:1, I'll read it to you. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. And then Abraham, in verse 10, reached out, took his son there. He reached out his hand and took his knife to slaughter his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. And here, notice what it says. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So God really didn't know, in one sense, that Abraham's faith was real under the test until he actually took that knife and was about to drive it into Isaac. And then he said, ah, now I see. Now I see. You really do fear me. You have obeyed me. In James 2:22, do you see that faith was working together with his works? Meaning, they were not separated. That was the whole argument. Faith and works are not separated. They're not two different things. And by works was made perfect. So James is saying that faith reaches its goal. Faith reaches the end, or the end that faith has, when we obey. When we obey. Until then, it is useless. It is worthless. It is dead. We show our faith by our works. Faith is made complete. Faith is made perfect. Faith accomplishes what it's supposed to accomplish when we prove it by works. That's what James is saying. It reaches its end when we obey. James 2:22, the New Century Version says, you see that Abraham's faith and the things he did work together. His faith was made perfect by what he did. Then in James 2:23, it says, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So Abraham's faith was accounted or reckoned to him for righteousness, because he did what God told him to do. That's why he got faith, why his faith was reckoned as righteousness. He did what God told him to do. He obeyed. It's that simple. And that's the same with us. God tells us to be baptized. To believe and be baptized in order to be saved. And when we do that, that is reckoned as righteousness by God. So when we do what God tells us to do, like Abraham, it's reckoned to us. We're justified. It's reckoned to us as righteousness. It's counted as righteousness. He showed that he believed by what he did, by his works. Not his own works, not the works of the law, not the works of the flesh, not the works of darkness. There's a lot of works in the Bible. Okay? And that's where I think many people get confused. But the works that result from obedience to God's commands, that's faith. That's faith. God spoke to him. He heard it. He believed it. He obeyed it. And that's how our faith is accounted for righteousness. And that's how we're justified. There's no other way. No other way. Then, in closing, no, not closing tonight. That's another chapter. In James 2:24, he says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Faith only means faith without works. Faith only is a dead faith. It's not backed up with what we do. It's good words. It's fair speeches. That faith cannot save anybody. It can't justify anybody. And therefore, it won't give anyone an entrance into the kingdom, that's for sure. The New Century Version says, "So you see that people are made right with God by what they do." People are made right with God not by what they do. Not by faith only. Meaning faith without works. Just saying things, but not doing. Profession of faith without works, according to James, is useless in the Christian life, really. Then James turns to Rahab. "Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?" Hebrews 11:31 says, "By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." So Rahab did not just say within herself, "Oh, sitting in that little house along the wall of Jericho, oh, I believe in the God of Israel. I believe in the God of Israel." She showed she believed in the God of Israel by her works. She changed sides. Right? She changed sides. She took the side of Israel. She helped the spies and hid them from the Jericho armies. And then she planned their escape. And guess what? Her works, her actions of faith saved her. They saved her from perishing. They saved her from destruction. And we should really, that is how we're saved. By works of faith. In James 2:25, in the New Century Version, it says, another example is Rahab, a prostitute who was made right with God by something she did. Again, the writers here are trying to emphasize that it was about doing. It was action. It was obedience. There's no way at all to be justified or considered righteous before God unless our faith has works. No other way. Now, James closes tonight with one more example. He wants to show that faith without works does not exist. He wants us to show that faith without works does not exist. It's dead. I mean, to be dead means we cease to what? We cease to live. Right? We cease to what? Exist. I mean, when someone's dead, do you see them walking around somewhere? Are they living some other life somewhere? That's what other people want to, that's what many people want to teach us, that they're walking around as some ghost somewhere. We don't go on living in some other realm of existence. That would completely undermine what James is saying here. And some use this verse to teach that. James uses the body apart from the spirit, or breath, as an analogy to prove faith without works is dead. He says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." The New Living Translation says, "Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without works." The Moffat New Testament translation says, "For as the body without the breath of life is dead, so faith is dead without deeds." So once our breath leaves us, life no longer continues. and we cease to what? Exist. And that is called what? Death. We're dead. And that's the same with faith. Once faith is separated from works, faith ceased to exist. It no longer exists. So James makes the point that faith cannot exist without works. It cannot exist. Faith cannot exist without works. That's what James is saying. A faith separated from works is dead. It is dead just as the body. If the body has no breath in it, it proves that it's dead. A body without breath is dead. A breathing person is a living person. A non-breathing person is a dead person. So the body, as I closed out here on your notes, a body animated by breath equals life. A faith proven by works equals salvation. That's the truth that we see here in James. James wants our faith to be a proven faith. That's mature Christianity. It's not a bunch of talk, not a bunch of cliche, not a bunch of words. You cannot separate faith from works. Okay? If you do that, faith is dead. Okay? Just as you separate a body from its breath, the body is dead. Same with faith. So, that's my teachings on James 2.